Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is time for our weekly chat with Chiefs color analyst, former Chiefs wide receiver, Danan Hughes.
It's all brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, in the business of forever. And Danan, you know, it was an ugly win, but man, in watching a team win a game like that on a Sunday really shows you, I think, what kind of football team we have here in Kansas City. As bad as it looked and nothing went their way, they still found a way to win. And to me, that's what separates the Chiefs from everybody else in the NFL.
Well, Bob, I don't know why everybody was sweating. There was never a doubt in my mind at all. I mean, I was not too far from Kling, and he was sweating through a couple of shirts and nervous, and I had to calm him down during commercials. But
there was only one person in the booth that was sweating that out. We won't name him by name, but there was one of our staffers that couldn't watch any of the field goals, and I don't know why, because Harrison Butker was going to drill that thing.
Yeah,
it didn't matter.
Like,
Never a doubt.
And for me, when I saw the Chargers kick that field goal to go up 20-17 with 3 minutes to go, I said, Chiefs are going to win this football game. And it sounds ridiculous, but zero would have been better for the Chargers at that point in time than three.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought there was some peculiar decisions in that game, and we had talked about it on the pregame show about just coaches kind of getting outside themselves. And I think the best example of that, you can go back to the Super Bowl, but I think the best example is going back last year to the Ravens game and John Harbaugh kind of getting outside himself, going for it on multiple fourth down plays, and just trying to, you felt like teams were trying to score 9-point touchdowns, and it's not possible. And in Anthony Lynn's case, you know, he had his hands full. You know, you have your starting quarterback that you've rolled with through Hard Knocks and through training camp go down literally at just about kickoff. And now you have a rookie quarterback that you've never seen in any kind of preseason go out on the field. And he did a very, very solid job. I thought he did an admirable job at the quarterback position. But there's always a time, and we said it during the broadcast, there's always a time during a game where you either are trying to win or trying not to lose. And I thought those decisions at the end, you're right. Going for it, what were they, inside the 5-yard line? And if you go for that and you don't get it, now you force the Chiefs to have to go 95-plus yards.
Yeah.
Versus having to, you know, basically just get the ball with a lot of time left and an opportunity to tie it or go ahead and win it.
And so, at minimum, yeah, at the 25-yard line, too, Dane. And, you gave up 20-some yards in field position, roughly, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm sure there's some overthinking right now and the hindsight thinking by Anthony Lynn and that staff on what they could have done better, because they dominated that game for more than two quarters. I'd say you can get into the latter part of the third quarter when the Chiefs got the momentum back. It was the field goal, the 58-yard field goal. It was the big hit on special teams that came right after that. There were three consecutive plays that seemed like everything shifted towards the Chiefs, and then, you know, you just kind of had to hold on and finish the ride.
We've been talking all morning long about Harrison Butker, and now he thinks he can hit from 70. I feel like Dave Tobe's almost going to go, okay, great. I understand you think you can make it from anywhere on the field, but he can legitimately now make it from anywhere on the field. What kind of weapon is that?
It's huge. And I watched Harrison Butker warm up for the Thursday night game against the Texans. I saw him going from 60 and kept moving back. Then he went to 64, and he made it. Then he went to 70, and I was like, oh, now this is part of the pregame, and I'm enjoying that.
Right.
And he came up short, but you can tell that he had the confidence that, hey, you know, I hit at 64 and 68. Let me go ahead and try 70. And, you know, obviously the wind and situations can come into play, but there's a confidence by Dave Tobe and Andy Reid and Harrison Butker that I'm not sure we've had around these parts in many, many years. And that's just a huge asset to have a kicker. One, he on kickoffs, he can place it in perfect places where if you want to cover kicks and make a big hit, he can do it, or he can kick it out of the end zone. So he has so much control, but so much power, and that power has increased. And it's just another ace that you have in your hand. And what better way to have that to know that, hey, inside 45 yards and in, at the 45 yard line and in, we got a kicker that can make it.
No doubt about it, man. It adds so much to your game and to your repertoire of what you can do and what you really have to do as an offense, especially one that was kind of, you know, struggling a little bit yesterday. I mean, the offensive line was getting eaten alive, I thought, by the Chargers defensively. I mean, it was a slow go for them in the first half, with Mahomes being held under, you know, 70 yards passing in the first half of that game yesterday. So to be able to have a kicker that can kick from just about anywhere on the field on a day when your offense isn't having its way helps so much. What were the Chargers doing to kind of limit what the Chiefs were trying to do yesterday?
Well, I thought it was a great game plan defensively, and obviously not every team in the NFL can employ this type of approach. You have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram III on the outside. They moved Melvin Ingram III inside at times, moved him around like J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans do for him. But Joey Bosa lined up on our right side, a large majority of the game, and all he did was focus on trying to beat Mitchell Schwartz. And I didn't think Mitchell Schwartz had his best game at all, but at the same time, Joey Bosa is a very unique talent. And all they did was they rushed him upfield and tried to constrict the lanes where Patrick Mahomes could scramble to. They brought Tillery in, that kind of clogged things up, and Linval Joseph also. Big bodies clog up the lanes to not allow Patrick Mahomes to escape the pocket. Now, when he did escape, if you notice, a large majority of the time, they forced him to the right. Now, you would think with a guy with as strong an arm as Patrick Mahomes, you roll him to the right may work in his favor. But what it did is it severely restricted where he could go with the ball downfield. You rolled him out to the right, made it a short field on the right side, so all he could do was focus on any receiver that was from the hash to the numbers on the right side. So now you limit his targets down the field. They also ran twist stunts with Bosa in the middle, and those are the ones, if you notice, when he came upfield, when we had the first scoring drive, they opened up lanes where he could scramble, and that's where he got a large portion of his running plays. But other than that, they clogged up the middle and tried to force him to the boundary to limit where he could throw the ball. So I thought it was a great defensive game plan, but not everybody could do that. Mitchell Schwartz is one of the best in the game. He just had a bad afternoon against one of the best in the game and the best rushers. So you kind of chalk it up. Hopefully you learn from it, and you don't allow them to repeat that kind of performance the next time we play him.
Well, and Danon, you mentioned one of the best in the game in Bosa. Where was he in overtime, man? Like, why was he on the sidelines and not playing when your team needs you the most? I think in a situation like that, big players are supposed to play big in big moments, and Bosa was on the sidelines.
Yeah, he was totally gassed. And they showed him on screen. You could see it in his face. Now, he had a workman's load the entire game, I will tell you. But at that point, you got to take a deep breath. You know, if you win, you got a victory Monday, you got Tuesday off.
Right.
You got a lot of time to rest and get ready for the next week. But at that moment, and that's something that I'm sure he's going to regret. As a competitor, as a player on the field, you don't ever want to take time out. But at the same time, you don't want to lose opportunities to stop to make the big stop against a talent like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't understand how a competitive football player, maybe he's not a competitive football player. I don't know what the answer is, but like if you're Bosa and you're
not getting an Eric Bieniemy t-shirt,
he definitely is not getting that. Like I can't fathom that. Like if I'm the Charger fan that's out there today, I'm pretty livid.
Singular.
I'm pretty livid right now that this guy is on the sidelines when we need him the most. And the Chiefs were able just to kind of move the ball down the field and get in the field goal range. Like, I got to be honest with you, Dana, that's Bush League.
Yeah, but you know what? In that situation, and I've played with guys that tapped on their helmet and came out of the game. You know, there are guys on the Ring of Honor here at Arrowhead that have come out of games. And at that moment, you feel like, hey, I just need one or two play break, and then I can come back in. And you're just hoping that nothing big happens during that one or two plays. And before you know it, as you're still gasping air, it's like three or four plays in, and because you realize, whoa, maybe I didn't just need one or two plays. I need a few more. Sometimes, as crazy as it sounds, even if you go way back in the NFL and even in college, running on and off the field is more tiring than actually the play, especially from a wide receiver standpoint when wide receivers used to bring plays in and out of the game. So you have to try to conserve your energy, and I understand everybody would like to believe that you can go out there and play full speed, 65, 70 plays, and never be winded. It's just not feasible. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. Sometimes you're going to need a break, and he just took an extended one that I think he's going to regret.
Chiefs color analyst Dannon Hughes joining us. Justin Herbert didn't know he was going to play, so the Chiefs certainly couldn't have known he was going to play. How difficult is that for all involved to prep for what's coming?
It is very difficult. I mean, the one thing I will give Anthony Lynn and his staff credit, it seemed like the game plan that they had for Tyrod Taylor was employed by Justin Herbert. Now, they probably, as he kind of gets his legs under him and loses some of that rookie mistake mentality, they'll open up the playbook because he's got an arm, he's big and strong, he's not scared of contact, and he can run. And we saw that through most of the first three quarters. But he made some mistakes. And we went into the game and I said they are a team that likes to hit their running backs and use their tight ends. They'll get some big plays down the field, which I think our corners did a really nice job of containing the two big receivers. But the running backs and the tight ends really hurt us, and that's going to be part of their game plan. But for a rookie, never having preseason games, being thrust into the fire literally right before the game, he really did a nice job, and he's going to be a load for us to handle for future years because he seems like he can be a playmaker once he learns how to minimize those mistakes. But that's tough. As a defense, you go out on the field and you don't see Tyrod Taylor back there, and you see a rookie, there's a little bit of a question that goes on in your head. Okay, well, what are we going to get from this guy? Because all we've done all week long is study Tyrod Taylor and what his tendencies are and things that we need to kind of counter his strength. And now we have this other guy, this wild card that we have no idea about.
I didn't think we'd come out of the game saying, oh, crap, Chargers have their might have their future quarterback. Yeah. I didn't expect that going into the game that would be something we'd be talking about today.
I mean, they should continue to start him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if there's a question in Tyrod's mind, there's some things that you can learn from being a starting quarterback, and then you go back to the sideline, and now you look at a veteran like Tyrod go out there and work the game. So you can make an argument on either side. Okay, now he's in there. Go ahead and take the ball and run with it. But I think if you're really trying to coach this guy up, and I think this is something that's a testament to Brett Veach and the Chiefs organization. There's a lot of copycat teams out there that have drafted quarterbacks over the last 2 years specifically to sit in the wings and watch and learn, mainly because of what we did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's what they wanted to do last year. That's what they wanted to do with Drew Locke in Denver and several other teams throughout the NFL. So you can make an argument on either side. Hey, we want you to still learn, go in the bullpen and wait, just stay ready. But he showed himself as a solid talent, and as he continues to grow and get better and get smarter, we're going to have our hands full, and so is the rest of the AFC West.
Dannon Hughes, Chiefs color analyst, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.